to take the platform.
Well, we seem to have a hard core of 5 million people who don't, for whatever reason, don't want to have the jab. And do you agree with Matt here or not?
You know what? I think we're not going to have to do it in this country. But if we were in the state that some of the countries in Europe currently are, the countries that were had very, very slow vaccine uptakes, I would be more in favour of them. I think David Lloyd is very brave to have written this piece. But also we have to listen to people like him, because he was on the cold face of this pandemic. He was seeing what was happening. You know, and what he's saying is, if you don't get the jab, you know, you could die. And you know, this time last year, we were all out clapping the NHS and saying, please don't put extra strain on them. Please do what you can. Now we have the best tool ever to fight COVID. And yet people, unvaccinated people, are the ones who are. The people in hospital currently are very young people, the elderly, but the majority are of the unvaccinated. Yeah. And it is no... So we're putting extra stress on NHS.
Of course, but that's what leads us to the David Lloyd point. As you say, he's been very brave to say it. I mean, when we talked about this last, I got into trouble. I had people coming around my home and serving legal papers on me.
Every time I say this on air that should be vaccinated, I get all sorts of threats.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, and the people are banging on about their human rights. You know, people, when you have a global pandemic and you're talking about saving lives, you mentioned principle before, it means nothing. You have to, you know, giving up your human rights is justifiable. It's justifiable to take away a person's bodily autonomy when you have a global pandemic.
Right. Okay. If we had the Black Death back with us, then, and there was the vaccine, you'd make that.
If it were Ebola, I have to say, principles go out the window if it's Ebola. If one of the five of us, if one of two of us are going to die, my principles go out the window.
There isn't a principle.
This can be a killer. We know it.
All right.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Good Lord. Watching that clip, my question is, well, when don't your morals go out the window, right? The same people that would justify war over here and war over there. And it's disgusting to think that those are the people that are driving people's opinions. I don't know why in the world that lady is, personal opinions don't even matter, which they are talking about banging on about your human rights, right? Because human rights are just something to be dismissed. Those silly little people who don't understand what's going on with their human rights. Like, that's what's happening right now. That's an alarming reality to be discussed right in front of you on mainstream media, or talking about how, you know, giving up your bodily autonomy is totally justifiable. These things would have been clownishly, like, circus level ridiculous just 2 years ago. And here we are. We're, oh, well, Ebola, then, you know, nothing. Like, what did he say? If Ebola comes around, well, then your rights just no longer matter. This is setting the tone for where we're going. This is what they've been trying to set for where we are now, before, during, and now they're setting it for where this is going to continue to go, unless you do something about it. Like, most of the world is out there pushing back. So you can't pretend, or don't let them make you think that you're not the majority right now, because it is everywhere. That's what I think we're going to continue to see with today's show, with the information we're continuing to show. What they're talking about right there, the first half of what she said, why I included that is because it's just simply plainly wrong. The data shows it's wrong. Everything she said is just listed off on a little note card from what you're supposed to say. Here's the COVID narrative. Read these things and they'll get patted on the head. All of the data does not back up what she's saying. Everything. And we're going to get into that specifically today with data coming from Wales, but also continuing to point back to the UK data and giving you more specific information about this and how it shows you, it counters the very... There's two claims here. One is in regard to the percentage of the categories, and the other is whether or not they're being honest with you about their narrative. And that's the focal point, as it has been in the past, of what we're going to talk about, because that's the first step to making sure you can see that they're lying to you when they say that, oh, it's all unvaccinated in the hospitals over here in the UK, except that's literally what your data shows is not true. So we'll go through that today, give you the tools to push back against this in a larger way. and continue to then show that even then, the per 100,000, the percentage is not even what they're claiming. Because that's the usual retort. Well, what are the categories? Right? What is there more people in the vaccinated versus the? Well, yes, those things matter. And even as this continues to go forward, it's getting more and more and more away from what they think is happening. Now, we're going to go over that to start for the most part today. Before we jump into that, we're going to talk about cancer, immune suppression, and how this is something that a lot of very, very intelligent doctors and scientists are pointing at right now. We talked about the CD8 T cells and how these are being removed. Dr. Cole talked about this, and that's leading to an increase in all sorts of things, one of which would be cancers, which he's seeing everywhere. A lot of people are. And the data, again, from Swiss Policy Research is showing you this is very clearly happening and being suppressed. And then we'll talk a little bit about collapsing athletes and some of the other unnerving stories around this topic, but that will mainly be the focal point today. But before we get into everything else, I want to start with something that Robert Inlakesh has put out that I think is really important. Really important. Somebody just sent me a note, by the way, on a side note that ties in with this, that basically asked in a very kind way that Ryan, please expand your point of view, right? There's a lot of other things happening, financial bills and this and that and everywhere. And trust me, I would like to believe you all know that I know that. Very strongly covering this up until now. But I understand that point and I take it to heart. Because it's always possible that maybe I am missing a lot of stuff. Maybe I am focusing too hard on this one topic. I don't think so. I really don't. But nonetheless, I will stand back and reflect because if you guys feel that way or somebody feels that way, it's worth thinking about. Because you know what? There is a lot going on that is getting missed, as there always really is, but more than ever today because of COVID-19. So whether that is, you know, I'm not even pretending that COVID-19 is the side distraction to everything else, but knowing that it's not, they'll still use it to hide other things, regardless of whether it's the primary objective or not. And one of these things is foreign policy, specifically in regard to Syria, that this story is horrific that just got missed by everybody. And really not horrific because it's new, it's different, that it hasn't happened before, but horrific because it's so blatant. And then nobody even points at it. And the New York Times has to come out with some, really an article that seems to intentionally undermine the reality of what's happening. So on this story that he put out, the title is New York Times report on Syrians killed by U.S. airstrikes, tip of the iceberg. Now, to one person's comment, this is in no way taking the New York Times at face value. That should always be the understanding here, sort of like arguing from within the narrative, right? The point is to reference what they said and then use the article to or going from there does not mean that we're believing or trusting or, you know, it's simply looking at the information. He's proven this information. A lot of other outlets have. But then on top of that, showing you that the New York Times is very clearly downplaying this. But here's the main point. On March 18th, 2019, it's about an old story. Think about how gross that is, by the way, that it takes all the way until now for this to even squeak out barely through the New York Times controlled outlet of all places. March 18, 2019, the New York Times revealed that a special ground operation unit called Ground Force 9 ordered strikes in Baghouz, Syria, which killed anywhere between 50 to 80 people. The Special Operations Unit reportedly did not need the usual authorization to launch the strikes they did, which came from F-15E fighter jets. Now, today, that doesn't need to happen anymore. They don't need presidential approval to launch strikes on foreign countries. The military, I mean. Think about how crazy that is. And when it happened during Trump's administration with the Moab in Afghanistan, half of his supporters said, that's not even true. That would never happen until it was proven to be real. And ever since then, we've seen this go on forward, where the military is taking unilateral action in real time under the guise that gives them better mobility on the ground. This is your authority or the illusion of your authority over what happens in this country continuing to take it away from you. Launching strikes in foreign countries without presidential approval. That's fantastic. The first airstrike that was launched dropped a 500-pound bomb on a group of primarily women and children. Easy to verify. Shortly after, they fired a second one. Easy to verify. Then they fired a third 2,000-pound bomb that was dropped on the crowd, ensuring the deaths of the survivors. You know what that sounds like? Exactly the same policy that they drive forward in Yemen, where the Saudis continue to circle back and bomb the ambulances that try to pick up the people they bombed. This is not just a war crime. This is an egregious war crime. This is bombing them as a war crime. Bombing people that support them, like ambulances and care workers, that's a serious war crime. So it's two war crimes. Regardless, this is what the U.S. government did. And even the New York Times wrote about it, which is why I say even, is because they're not trying to do this, in my opinion, to get to the truth. I think this is about letting out steam. It says, ultimately, all attempts to try and open up a fair investigation into the incident, which the military supposedly knew killed around 70 civilians, were buried, as even people tried to speak up about it. Read this article. Here's how he finishes. The U.S. military has long thrown aside the issue of law and morality. It has only sought to get around its own rules in order to avoid prosecution when it understands that its actions could mean accountability. In an illegal war, without congressional approval, without public support, without the knowledge of the president, or even following the standard protocols in place, the U.S. government covers up its crimes and still somehow gets away with claiming it is about freedom and liberty. And no, I'm not talking about the United States. I'm not talking about the American people. I'm talking about the government that has gone rogue from what the American people actually want. It is the most American thing you could possibly do to stand up against a rogue government that is fighting against the interests of Americans. It's quintessentially American to fight against un-American directions like we're doing today. Goes on to say, in all honesty, the Daesh militants that arose out of the detention centers have just about the same level of humanity as those running the U.S. military. A sad reality, as most U.S. troops join truly believing that they're doing the right thing and fighting to keep their country safe. And I believe that. When in fact, they're used as a force of terror to allow looting, raping, pillaging, and illegal regime change operations. And if that makes you uncomfortable, if that makes you upset, that's because you are ignoring the decades of verifiable reality, verifiable factual information all around the world that shows you this is what's been going on. Now, please take a step back and realize how this relates to what we're dealing with today. The same government, the same rogue agendas, working with the same terrible people around the world, driving it in despite what you want. Now, in a couple of the quick points that are, you know, I guess not, they're kind of a mix between domestic and foreign policy. As Tim Dillon points out, isn't it odd that the media has no interest in Ghislaine Maxwell's story? Gee, I'm so just confused by that. I'm sure you can hear the sarcasm in my voice. An innocent female philanthropist framed by a devious and powerful man. The sarcasm is dripping from his comment. And even as Slow News Day points out, I find this to be crazy to me. This is just nuts. Look at what the Daily Mail wrote. Lookalikes put off scent. Ghislaine Maxwell was the most hunted woman on the planet and hiding out in the U.S. So her team hired doubles of herself and brother Kevin to take a stroll through Paris, then tipped off photographers. Now, make sure you think back to that perfectly timed picture by the In-N-Out Burger, where she was sitting there reading a book with a book that had a very specific message for you to see, right? This is so completely orchestrated, it bothers me. Regardless, as he points out, I'm not saying that's a body double in court or at the jail. I mean, I'm not saying that either. Quote, not for nothing, but the Mossad super spy's daughter had multiple body doubles and we just happened to catch her at the place up the road from the jail. Yeah. But meanwhile, this will get no attention, even though it's a big story because of what's going on, even though it would have gotten basically no attention by the media anyway, just like Epstein, until we jammed it down their throat. Here we are. Same story, same nonsense, same people lying to you about COVID-19. Now, I was just on a really excellent panel with Facts on the Ground. Resistance is Imperative, a panel discussing discussion on dismantling the new normal nightmare. Whitney was there with me, a bunch of great people joined, Robinson, Hudson, Corey Morningstar. We had a great conversation, so I really hope you will check it out and listen. I thought it was a really dynamic conversation back and forth. Now, I wanted to point one last thing up before we jump into the opening discussion of immune suppression and cancer, which is that this is the kind of nonsense that the media from all levels, from all countries are pumping out right now around this story, COVID-19 specifically. Stuff that we know, like a child would walk away from going, this can't be right. Okay, so we're in the middle of the biggest pandemic in a century. That's what they're saying. We're in the middle of that right now, right? I mean, that's what they're saying. I think we all know that's not true, but that's what they're pushing forward constantly. We also know that they're just, according to their narrative, let's play the game, COVID-19 destroyed the economy. Destroyed your jobs, destroyed everything we know, and we're about to begin the steps to build that back better, right? Yet simultaneously, CBS News wants you to know that jobless claims have plunged to apparently their lowest levels in 52 years. Well, that's flabbergasting. Somehow we've managed to decrease employment to the lowest in 52 years while we have more people missing their jobs, without having any Their business is destroyed. I mean, this is just dumb. Now, whether this is because there's been some manipulation about how they gauge this, so someone's been given some temporary work or whatever else, this is a manipulation. This is in no way representative of the fact that we've got more people working than in 52 years. Or rather, to frame it the way they said it, we have people, more people not jobless within 52 years. I mean, good God. This is crazy that we're seeing this kind of stuff, that they're just trying to blatantly lie to you. You know, I was going to say the something on you and tell you it's raining, but it's a family friendly show. You know how it goes. But bringing that kind of concept, all that stuff that we opened with there, with foreign policy, everything else, the manipulation by the government, by the media, into this next topic, because this is really important. Swiss Policy Research. Again, as I pointed out from the beginning, one of the ones that was has from the very beginning of this has been very consistent at challenging, questioning the right things and putting the facts forward for you to digest for yourself. And of course, that means right out of the gate, they were relegated to the side as some sort of unknown element, except for the fact that Swiss Policy Research was highly regarded and well known before this all started. You know, it's sort of how you're going to see people like your Robert Malone's or, you know, outlets in general, like the British Medical Journal, suddenly becoming a conspiracy theorist outlet. Why? Because they dared to ask the right questions. Isn't it amazing how you can be one of the highest regarded outlets in the world and be pointed to repeatedly right up until the moment you say one thing you're not supposed to, and then suddenly nothing else matters and you've always been a conspiracy theorist? How intelligent is that, right? Like, we can't step back and be like, well, you just said they were great. Now they've forever been that way. They've debunked for life. That's your Twitter conversation. It ends right there. COVID vaccines and cancer. Now, we've already talked about this. In fact, we've already actually talked about this article, this study, which is what they reference in this article, at least in the part regard to cancer, herpes zoster after COVID vaccination. And you'll see the connection. It's in regard to the immune suppression. September 25th, I believe that's when they last updated it. Usually they update the actual date. Yeah, just how they usually do it here. It does get published, but they usually put the updated date on the published when they update it each time. And they do that with most of these. And they update it repeatedly. But I could be wrong on this one. I can't. Maybe it was published first on September 25th. I don't believe so. Either way, the great thing about this outlet is they continue to come back to this and add new information and then notate what they've added. So it's all completely with you, where you get to pay attention and follow along and learn for yourself. Now, can COVID vaccines cause cancer? In some cases, the answer appears to be yes. That's their opening sentence. To be sure, there is no evidence that COVID vaccines themselves are carcinogenic, which means themselves specifically cancer-causing. However, it has been shown that, and by the way, I should add, there's no evidence thus far. I'm only saying that because for crying out loud, it seems like this thing is hurting everything everywhere. But thus far, it doesn't seem to be that being the point. It says it has been shown that up to 50% of those getting the vaccine, getting COVID injections, can induce a temporary immune suppression or immune dysregulation, otherwise known as lymphocytopenia, that may last about a week or possibly longer. Now, it says, in addition, but before I move forward, don't forget, when we first covered this a long time ago, that their own data was showing you that it actually increases your susceptibility to catch the COVID-19, to get COVID-19 by 50% for the first 7 days. But then, of course, they go, oh, but it drops down after that. Well, fine, but 7 days, you have a period of increased potential to get sick. And remember, within that first 7 day period, within the first, month and a half, even though you're being injected along this process, you are still considered unvaccinated. One shot, 2 weeks, one shot, I guess a month or so. But then remember now, well, not anymore. Now it's the third shot as well. Now you've got a third shot and then 14 more days. So we're talking about a 2 month period here, give or take, where you are, it's about a month and a half, where you are by definition unvaccinated, even though you've been getting injections. So we have to factor that into this process. Now with a third shot, pushing that way out. In addition, COVID-19, undo this so you can see the links. They have everything you want to see in here, all linked. You can look at it for yourself. Research it for yourself. Please do. In addition, COVID mRNA vaccines have been shown to reprogram or influence adaptive and innate immune responses, which we've already covered on this show. And in particular, to downregulate the so-called TLR4 pathway, which is known to play an important role in the immune response to infections and cancer cells. Now, we have the clip to Ryan Cole right down here, which you've already seen. We've played this. Thus, if there already is a tumor somewhere, known or unknown, or if there is a predisposition to some type of cancer, such as a state of vaccine-induced immune suppression or immune dysregulation, might potentially trigger sudden tumor growth and cancer in the weeks following vaccination, which, by the way, again, the data they're showing you is what they're finding, as Ryan Cole has been seeing. But what's interesting to me, don't forget how prevalent cancer is in this country. We're at a point now where basically 1 in 2 people will get cancer at some point in their life. I did shows on this 5-10 years ago. I forget. Back then, I think it was like 1 in 4 people are dying from cancer. I can only imagine what it is today. Maybe I circle back and talk about that, but I will. I'm thinking in my mind, damn it, I should have done that for this show. But you know what? It's just incredible that we have some of the highest cancer rates. So people arguably out there are riddled with free radicals and having all sorts of issues and tumors. And then this happens. And then we see a dramatic increase in cancer, which they will not associate with the injection. Now, whether that's intentional or not, it's quite a boon for the people that are putting out things like chemotherapeutic drugs, which only have generally about a 3% total success rate when all combined and said and done, which is disgusting. Also, one of the only classifications of drugs where the doctor gets a direct cut of the profit. But let's forget about all of that and pretend like they're going to keep asking you to take something that works about 3% of the time, but has a lot of serious negative side effects. Meanwhile, there's things like cannabis and even parsley has been shown to have very serious positive effects in regard to cancer. But we'll keep giving you something that hurts you quite a bit. I've talked about this a lot in the past. Now, coming back to this point, you're then giving them something that's going to increase the situation that's causing the cancers to develop. As I've said many times so far in this process, it's almost as if, you know, almost as if they designed this thing to do exactly what it's doing. Or, that's not the only two options, or you could ask yourself, are they really just that bad? They're so bad that it's like they tried to do good things in every possible direction, and every possible direction it drove the literal opposite way. Here, we're going to do this to help you keep healthy. And oh, look what it does. It creates cancer. Oops, our bad. Oh, this is going to keep you safe from COVID, except what it does is cause heart attacks. Our bad. You know, it's like just oops everywhere. Or there's something more going on. At the very least, whether you think it's intentional or not, you need to be able to see that they're ignoring this right now. A child could see that. Now, why would they do that? Why would they ignore things that are hurting people when the whole objective is to keep you safe? At the immunological level, a similar mechanism appears to be triggering the post-vaccination reactivation of latent virus infections. This is what Cole was talking about. Most notably, VZV, shingles, but also Epstein-Barr and HPV. Oh, excuse me, that was EPV was Epstein-Barr. And it says the vaccine-induced temporary immune suppression is also a likely factor contributing to the post-vaccination spike in coronavirus infections observed in many countries. So not only is it causing other things, but it's leading right back to the very thing it's supposed to stop you from getting. The extent of the vaccine-induced tumor growth and cancer issue remains uncertain, which means it doesn't, for all we know, it's not something that goes away in 7 days. Regardless, the situation it creates during that time period is more than enough to create the initiation of the cancer or tumor or sickness that continues whether or not that situation goes away in 7 days. That's the point. Now it says, but there are already a few thousand such case reports in the notoriously incomplete official adverse event reporting system and in vaccine-related online patient groups. You know, in all the data that we're supposed to ignore because we don't know for sure. Although some of these cases may certainly be coincidental or even due to lockdown-related delayed diagnosis. Of course, you see, because they're objective and honest enough to point that out, of course it could be that. Meanwhile, on the other side of this, they could never point out that what they're saying could also be caused by the injection. That's just not possible, despite simultaneously arguing that it can cause these things. One of the many contradictions we find ourselves in. In August, U.S. clinical pathologist Dr. Ryan Cole described a significant increase in certain types of cancer since the beginning of the COVID mass vaccination campaign, an exact correlation. More recently, German pathologists also noted the issue of post-vaccination immune dysregulation and sudden tumor growth in some patients. Now, just don't forget, like I was saying, look at all the links in here, guys. Please go through and read all of these. I mean, I could have done an entire show just going through the links on this one page. Most of them, actually, we've already talked about, to be honest. But it said, oh, here, let me play this first. You guys have seen this, but let me just play the quick part of it for those that haven't seen it.
In the laboratory, I've seen a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers over what I see on an annual basis. A 20 times increase. Not exaggerating.
1 second. That seems much lower than I saw it as earlier.
90% sure I've got him up here on a clip. Give me 1 second. Here we go. Perfect. I'm not sure which one it is. I've got two of his. Maybe we'll play both.
We know those signals from SARS-CoV-1. We've seen this in cat coronavirus vaccines, where cats ended up with this horrible inflammation, swelling of the stomach, and about 30% of the cats died. So we know once you prime somebody with an antibody, and that antibody is good, great. But if you prime them with an antibody that is not good, sit back and pull out the popcorn, because we're going to be seeing something horrific happening immunologically to a population down the road. The honest answer is we don't know to what degree, but we do know the history of this, and history is one of the best teachers that we have.
All right, so that one was just the main point of showing you. I mean, the point is that he's seeing this happen in front of him. He's seeing how this is happening, and we're watching it, and we can see it developing. That wasn't the one in regard to today. But overall, it's still a very valuable discussion point that adds to the larger picture of all the stuff that these doctors are seeing and not talking about, willfully ignoring, in fact. Let's watch the next one.
But what we're seeing in the laboratory after people get these shots, we're seeing a very concerning, locked-in, low profile of these important killer T cells that you want in your body. It's almost a reverse HIV. In HIV, you lose your helper T cells, your CD4 cells. In this virus, post-vaccine, what we're seeing is a drop in your killer T cells, your CD8 cells. And what did CD8 cells do? They keep all other viruses in check. What am I seeing in the laboratory? I'm seeing an uptick of herpes family viruses. I'm seeing herpes. I'm seeing shingles. I'm seeing mono. I'm seeing a huge uptick in human papillomavirus in the cervical biopsies and the cervical pap smears in women. In addition to that, there's a little infectious, you know, bump that kids get called molluscum contagiosum. What do you need to keep that in check? You need CD8 killer T cells. I am seeing a 20 times increase in individuals over the age of 50 of this little bump and rash. You know, that's innocuous, but what it tells me is the immune status of these individuals who have gotten the shot. We're literally weakening the immune system of these individuals. Now, most concerning of all is there's a pattern of these types of immune cells in the body that keep cancer in check. Well, since January 1, in the laboratory, I've seen a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers over what I see on an annual basis. A 20 times increase. I'm not exaggerating at all, because I look at my numbers year over year. I'm like, gosh, I've never seen this many endometrial cancers before. I'm seeing invasive melanomas in younger patients. Normally, we catch those early, and they're thin melanomas. I'm seeing thick melanomas skyrocketing in the last month or two. I'm already seeing the early signals, and we are modifying the immune system to a weakened state. Great study out of Germany that looked at these profiles on young individuals after the Pfizer, showing this locked in, and we don't know how long. Maybe the immune system, you know, is going to regenerate and those ratios will go back up. But who's studying it? And where are the long-term trials? 2 months, 4 months? How long is this profile locked in? We don't know.
Exactly. And you know why we don't know? Because they're ignoring it. Because nobody's trying to look into it, because when he puts this out there and backs it up with data and studies come out of Germany that say the same thing, and all the, and they shove it aside and say anti-vax, fake news, disinformation. And everybody who wants to hear what they're saying says, yay, fake news, because they said so. Right? This is how you putting up studies on Twitter, let's say, which is a waste of time other than just digesting information. Nobody's changing people's minds on Twitter. It's such a waste of, it's just vitriolic negativity back and forth as everybody ignores each other's opinions. You post the studies and people seek out somebody who tells them what to think about it. Right? Why don't you just look at the study, read what it says, instead of finding the fact checker that says, I'm not supposed to read that, which is what's happening. On all sides, to be quite honest, it happens on every side. But today, there's a willful disregard to things that challenge whether or not this thing might have negativity, might have downsides, might have negative effects. Oh my gosh. But continuing forward with this point, I'll actually make sure there wasn't, I missed something here.
Training at all. because I look at my numbers year over year.
Yeah, that's the same point. That's the part we just listened to. I'd love to get Ryan Cole on the show. Anybody knows a connection, somebody to reach out, I'd love to talk to him. I'm also trying to get David Martin to come on. I'd love to talk more about the patents discussion with him. But there's a lot of good, intelligent, honest people out there, at least as what my perception would tell me, that I'd love to talk to, because it is falling down around their ankles right now, guys. You are the majority. They see it. They're terrified of you, and they're trying to keep you scared and driven into the corner. That's what they're trying to do. Now, it says, in addition to the already well-established cardiovascular adverse events, you know, such as blood clots, strokes, heart muscle inflammation, and mental disorders, all the things they've admitted happen, yet when somebody says they happen to them, they scream their fake news and they suppress them and censor them while they just admitted it can't happen. I can't get past that. It's the silliest thing in the world. And then also remember that I pointed out the other day, we're talking about Twitter and Instagram and people like that censoring these people's comments. Are we going to really pretend that Twitter and Facebook are researching whether or not they actually had the problem that the CDC has admitted can happen? No, of course not. So then why are they censoring it then? They admitted it can happen. It certainly could happen to them. Facebook is not right finding out whether it did happen to them. They're simply censoring because you're not allowed to say it happened to you. Like, I really hope that's clear to people out there. Like, whether or not you believe anything I'm saying or not, that is obvious. They're censoring anybody who says they're having these problems while they admitted they can happen, because you're just not supposed to say that. It's just that silly. But all of those things, well-established cardiovascular events, remember this when we get into the collapsing athletes part again, several autoimmune diseases have also been linked to COVID vaccines, including neuroinflammatory conditions such as Guillain-Barré syndrome and multiple sclerosis, which may be caused by an antigenic cross-reactivity. Now, Guillain-Barré syndrome is now being investigated by the CDC because there's cases and we're trying to find out. Yeah, that's their pretending to look into it. Pretty much everything I think we look back to has seemed to cause Guillain-Barré syndrome. That's probably not by accident, but I'm just riffing here. I think it's obvious and frustrating that these things continue to pop up. And every time we look back and go, oh yeah, now we see it. But today it's like, that's not possible until 20 years from now. And there's I don't even want to theorize about what it's going to look like in 20 years if we don't push back enough right now. Post-vaccination hearing loss and tinnitus have recently been covered by ABC News. Right? Isn't that funny? Those things that we could have said, you know, a year and a half ago, based on the data we were seeing, or more specifically about a year ago, year or more, and we're censored for. And now they're saying, but it can happen. Super rare, though, and that's being allowed. As for pregnant women, while many health authorities recommend that they get vaccinated, the actual Pfizer vaccine trial in pregnant women continues to be delayed for lack of participants. That's right now. Meanwhile, the U.S. VAERS reporting system counts already more than 2,000 post-vaccination miscarriages. Because that makes sense, doesn't it? I'm going to come back to make this point again, but since we happen to have this point related here, don't forget, as they're literally telling you that, while they haven't finished the pregnant trials, while they're having post-vaccination miscarriages, they dismiss, and they're saying, get it, though. It's totally safe and effective for pregnant women. Let's not forget that the FDA currently, as of November 19th, still says, available data on this injection administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform the risks in pregnancy. Same thing around breastfeeding. Insufficient to inform on the risk. But go ahead and take it, though. Anyway, go ahead and give your baby your breastfed milk, even though we don't know if it'll kill them, because it's safe and effective. Because those things make sense, right? Safe and effective, but we don't know if it's safe. That apparently they make sense together, because that's what they're doing right now. Fantastic. Let's go forward. In children, it was thought that vaccination would prevent COVID-related pediatric inflammation multi-system syndrome. Instead, it turns out that COVID vaccines may actually themselves trigger what they are right now trying to blame as MISC, which is basically an added category since COVID started to pretend like this is some new thing. They've never even proven that it's actually tied to COVID, or that it's even something that is its own thing, as opposed to just vaccine side effects or inflammation caused by mass or all sorts of other things that could be doing that. But pediatric inflammation multisystem syndrome, it turns out the injection's causing it. Is that MISC in and of itself? I would argue probably, which is most likely caused by immune reaction to the spike protein. So get this. So the spike protein in the injection they're giving these kids is clearly causing problems. There's plenty of data to back that up. Salk Institute is where I tend to point to. But then we know that the injection's also causing this immune suppression, which then is causing all these other things to happen. It's a perfect storm. I keep pointing that out, almost as if it was designed to do this. Vaccine-induced PIMS was first noticed in Israel and has recently been confirmed by the EMA. The benefit of COVID vaccination in children is so uncertain that vaccine trials had to switch from relevant endpoints, i.e. reduction in disease or death, to dubious proxy indicators like antibody response. Right, this is what happens when they do these rushed after-the-fact trials and the people are trying to force it on, because everyone's paying attention somewhere else, and you find out, oh, well, they just shifted the terms. We're not even finding out whether it reduces disease or death. All we're going to say is, look, we see antibody responses, therefore it works this much. That doesn't even make sense, especially since we already know that most people already had antibody responses before this started. Now, I guarantee there's somebody out there that is just here surveying the show because fake news, and probably said, wow, that can't be true because you must be making that up. Well, here it is right here. May 15th, a majority of uninfected adults, fair enough, but the point being is they weren't testing kids anyway. The point being that a majority of people in this country already had pre-existing antibodies, and the reason being is because they had the cold from before or other issues. Well, children get the cold too. This is an obvious reality. There's also the, oh, nature. I might as well grab it since I just referenced it. That's not the right one. Well, maybe I won't find it. I thought I had it in there. Yeah, here we go. So this is the important one as well. And it just the point they found was T-cell immunity in all these cases, but weirdly also in their uninfected controls. And of course, read it for yourself. As you've seen me talk about on the show, it's because of other issues before COVID came around, such as SARS itself, the common cold. Either way, going back to the point, if all you're doing is, look, they've got antibodies to that, well, couldn't that have been for somewhere else? Yes, and all the science is showing you that, but they don't care about that because trust the science, right? It perfectly makes sense. Meanwhile, a recent U.S. study found that in healthy male adolescents, the risk of post-vaccination myocarditis is about 5 times higher than the risk of COVID hospitalization. And there is no such thing as a non-serious case of myocarditis, like there's no such thing as a non-serious heart attack. Regardless, the less severe cases, however you would argue that, all of them can lead to, I'm using the wrong terms here. Let's put it this way. There's no such thing as a, I'm blanking on the term that they use. That's so frustrating to me. So the myocarditis discussion in the study, if you probably remember, says that they're in a, I think they use a non-serious case of myocarditis, can increase your mortality by up to 56% in the next 10 years. That's a peer-reviewed study from the NIH. So that's why they say there is no such thing as a, I don't want to say non-serious. I'm just blanking on the term. Somebody in the chat remind me of what the term was. It shouldn't be the same term there. The point was another doctor's already come out and said that. It's like saying that any heart attack is dangerous. Maybe not dangerous. There's no such thing as a not dangerous case of myocarditis, however you want to frame it. The point is that any of these cases, even the, oh, that's what it was. See, mild. I'm funny sometimes. So there is no such thing as a non-serious case, but the point is there can be mild or severe forms of the cases. All of them can lead to severe issues. That's the point. Sorry for the confusion there. So even mild cases of myocarditis have a very severe problem attached to them. 5 times higher than the risk of COVID hospitalization in general, adolescents. On top of that, the risk of getting myocarditis from COVID, which I haven't even seen perfectly defined, only comes along once you get COVID-19, which is a small risk to people in that age group. However, when you get the injection, it's immediate that you have a 5 increased risk in a general sense for myocarditis. And that is not okay. If there's risk, there should be choice, period. A recently published study in mice found that if mRNA vaccine gets into a vein, which by the way, it's been proven in every possible way that's been happening, as well as the fact that you're showing in every video you watch, they're not aspirating the syringes. It's going in the people's vein. It's going in your bloodstream, which countless numbers of studies have found circulating spike proteins and so on, even though they pretend that's not true. I've shown you the peer-reviewed science right on the show. It says if it's found in the vein, the heart muscle absorbs the mRNA, starts producing coronavirus spike protein, gets attacked by the immune system, and develops inflammation and cell damage. What do you know about that? And here's the one you've already seen. We've already talked about this. And they're ignoring stuff like this. So even if you pretend, well, that doesn't happen all the time, it's possible that it can, because it'll always happen to some degree, that it will get in, that they'll do it incorrectly, they won't aspirate the syringe, and then guess what? It's very clear that the spike protein basically gets produced in your heart. I mean, it's just crazy that this is a discussion that's being ignored across the board. All of these things are very possible. They admit that. But then pretend like it's so rare, it doesn't matter. But then simultaneously pretend that you're not allowed to make your own choice because none of this is really true, which is what the discussion is in the mainstream media and Twitter, social media. Haven't official vaccine trials shown that COVID vaccines are safe, though? The answer is no. Excuse me. In fact, several serious adverse events were already observed during COVID trials, which we've heard and talked about on the show, but were discarded as unrelated. In addition, this is from, you know, Pfizer, the group that's been caught lying 70 plus times in very serious billion-dollar crimes over the years since the year 2000. But we'll trust them this time. In addition, this Pfizer vaccine trial excluded 5 times more people from the vaccine group than from the control group. That's crazy. That's a choice. You're making choices in these to make it look the way you want to. 5 times more people were excluded from the vaccine group than the control group. They're getting rid of people who are getting sick. In the Pfizer vaccine trial for adolescents, a 12-year-old girl, we've talked about her, this is Maddie, suffered permanent paralysis. She is still in a wheelchair. They reported it, Pfizer reported it, as abdominal pain. And to this day, they tell her that she's got mental problems. Think about how disgusting that is. A German retirement home, in a German retirement home, 10% of the people suffered serious adverse events after the third injection, the booster, and 2 of them had to be resuscitated. 10% of them. But that doesn't matter. That is what's called a microcosm. When you can see the reaction to that degree, this is what we're seeing, guys. That's a huge amount of adverse events. And what we need to continue to see is that the VAERS information is being dismissed because it shows you the signal that they used to tell you mattered. It's only 1% of the total. So told us Harvard and HHS before this all started. Speaking of Israel, an Israeli civil rights group has recently produced an important 1-hour documentary called The Testimonies Project. I'll link here. Watch for yourself. You've actually already seen it on the show. Detailing serious COVID vaccine injuries based on interviews with Israeli citizens and their relatives. Globally, COVID vaccines may have already killed or severely injured more than 100,000 people. May, because they refuse to look into it. Given the lack of vaccine protection against infection and transmission, as well as the rather concerning safety profile, it is clear that there is no medical or ethical epidemiological justification for COVID vaccine mandates or vaccine passports. That's how you know Swiss Policy Research is being honest. That, in my opinion, anyway. Because that covers the whole gamut, doesn't it? None of those things are justified. Not mandates, but we should still have passports for those that do want to do it. Nope. None of that makes sense. Indeed, the WHO Regional Director for Europe recently acknowledged that COVID vaccines simply won't be able to suppress the virus. Yep. Because we've been telling you that. Because even Forbes reported that back in 2020, because they never intended for it to do so. It's amazing how Forbes can write that in 2020. We can report it back in 2020, be censored for reporting what Forbes had to say, and watch it come to fruition right now. Long before now, by the way. It says, thus, the pandemic will end as usual through widespread and durable natural immunity. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Israeli all-cause mortality in people below 45 just, you know, randomly significantly increased during the spring. But nobody cares about that, right? Just in general. Are you going to blame the anti-vaxxers, the unvaccinated, the people that just don't want to do this? You're going to blame them for having a general increase in all-cause mortality? Probably. They probably try to. I think that was it in this article. It's a really well done. I mean, I really hope that you'll take the time to go through the actual links and read this stuff. Because it's all stuff that you've seen. It's all stuff just like this. It is peer-reviewed science that is showing you what's going on. I'll include all these for you to read for yourself. Again, here was one of the original ones they referenced. A possible cause for this reaction is a transient lymphocytopenia, exactly what they just talked about, that occurs after vaccination. Oh, and just in case you thought they might try to, you know, cover this up in real time. Oh, here we are. Late diagnosis of tumors in children, collateral damage of COVID-19, doctor says. It's all COVID-19. Why not? Of course, the point is you could clearly argue that there was some degree of late or non-diagnosis because people didn't want to go to the hospital because they were overwhelmed and closing down all the other parts of the hospital when they shouldn't have done, so it could look like they were overwhelmed and turning away other people that were having issues, you know, broken legs, arms, things like this, cancer diagnosis. Yeah, all that was happening. But on top of that, guess what's going to get swept into that now? The cancers being caused by the injections. Oh, well, that's probably just because they didn't come in during COVID. Yeah, that's called an assumption. But you know what? That's what's going to be happening all across the board, and it currently is anyway. As long as it aligns with the vaccine narrative, then you can assume all day. Lack of in-person visits with family doctor and diagnosis, treatment delays. This is what they're going to lay it as, right? So as we're seeing people like Cole and Swiss Policy Research very clearly telling you, not we think, but the data very clearly shows you that it reduces your immune system, which or suppresses it, which very clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, can lead to cancers. And if that's the case, it will 100% increase the overall incidence of cancer in our society. So therefore, we're going to see that happen to some degree in children, and it will get covered up like this. That's my opinion, the last part, clearly. They will cover it up, in my opinion, because that's why this stuff comes out. Why would this get pumped out on November 21st? Because think about this, guys. This narrative itself, the idea that this in general would happen, was censored and called fake news back when they were rationalizing the lockdowns. We were over here going, what do you mean you're going to lock everything down? All that's going to do is hurt everybody else. No, fake news. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Now they're coming back around and going, yep, look what happened. Look at all these other problems that we're going to use to cover up the current vaccine problems that caused because of the lockdown. This is the absurd evolution of this narrative, where they're saying what we just said before and got censored for because it now works for their narrative. It just never stops. Now, on the next topic, Steve Kirsch has a really important article that I want you to hope you'll read. Just a quick note here, because we've already covered most of what's going on in this discussion, but he just got censored. Steve Kirsch, of all people, just got censored, who is the executive director for Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. He got censored on Twitter, along with everybody else, it would seem. Robert, you know, myself, I mean, so many people. I mean, I'm not even the best example for people out there that, you know, want to believe I'm fake news. There's plenty of doctors and scientists and highly educated people that have every right to speak on things, even if they're actually might be incorrect, which used to be the normal called discussion, are being censored for saying what they think. Steve Kirsch, account suspended. As Nashville Angela points out, and I just referenced this in his last article, by the way, how he's putting out like more. I thought it was more than $1 million. I thought it was $100 million. But either way, putting out lots of money for anybody who's willing to, as it says, I'm offering $1 million research grant to the first researcher to publish a paper that disproves Matthew Crawford's analysis of the death data that shows that the vaccination is causing all the things we're talking about. He's put this out there. Nobody's picking him up on the offer. You know how easy it would be to prove that if they're that certain about what they're talking about? As she says, I want Steve Kirsch back on Twitter. If he's wrong, why aren't these fact checkers jumping on the opportunity to accept his $1 million offers? Suspending someone who is pro-vaccine, but against these shots, while refusing to prove him wrong, speaks volumes. Well put, and I agree with that. Because he's openly, I mean, he's working with vaccine safety groups. He as I understand it, he's been injected. And throughout this process, he's come to see that it's not the right thing to do, and he's speaking out about it. And he'll tell you, he's not anti-anything. In fact, he's pro-vaccination, but in this case, he's concerned about the injection. They label him anti-vax because that's the ignorant, reductive narrative, reductive situation we find ourselves in, where that's acceptable. To the very media, it's simultaneously arguing that it's racist to broad brush an entire group of people. But we'll do it as long as it's around people that we don't like. Disgusting hypocrites. As I pointed out here, I've been going at both these topics all week, which you guys have already seen. And here's the funny part. I said, make sure you follow his work. Now, the next day he got censored. Now, I'm not saying it's because of me. But I think we can see that I am kind of a beacon for their censorship, whatever that would be. So here I am blasting it out, saying, look at this. And look at the discussion that we just had about that topic that was also just censored on YouTube, by the way, which I think is funny. not because they don't always censor, but because, oh, excuse me, not censor, they age restricted it. You know why it's funny, though, is because we're talking about the fact that this is very real based on the data. That's all this was, the data, using this peer-reviewed study. One of the most highly regarded cardiology outlets out there. And they censored it, of course. Oh, and Marshall pointed out for me in the chat that if you click on the video, it gives you something you have to click. And it says, this is supposed to be inappropriate, but people have warned. Cancel or confirm. If you cancel, you don't get to watch it. So they force you to confirm that it's not okay. And then you're allowed to watch it. And then it makes you hit it again. It's just so silly. I shouldn't even waste time on that. It just makes me laugh how childishly ridiculous they are today about this stuff. But I put this out there on Twitter, and literally the next day he gets censored. So whether or not that's the case, please, please, Streisand effect this stuff. Read this to high heaven. Share it everywhere, because they clearly don't want you to look at it. Latest devastating news on the vaccine. Now, this is going to be a little bit of reiteration because we just talked about this, but I want you to hear what he has to say about what we just discussed. This topic right here dramatically increases your inflammatory markers. The injections dramatically increase. This came out on November 8th. Are we going to pretend that the mainstream media, excuse me, the corporate media, the legacy media, are we going to pretend that they just didn't see it? Maybe actually because they don't actually listen or look for anything other than what they're handed. But somebody out there in the know is aware this is here and doesn't care to tell you about it. So that's why he wrote this article. If you weren't already convinced, you double your risk. You double your risk of cardiac incidents, and the rate of stillborn babies is up by 29%. But only if you're vaccinated. Does anyone in authority care? All of this is easy to verify. That is why he just got censored. And that's what I keep saying from the very beginning. It only becomes fake news, misinformation, when you prove what you're saying. They've already basically admitted that. Patreon openly said, yeah, go ahead. You could talk about these things all day, but you can't spread misinformation. And they're talking about the same topic because it was put to them directly. And they said, no, you could talk about it. You just can't spread misinformation. Okay, so we could talk about all day, but once you put out the link that proves what you're saying, well, that becomes fake news. And here's your example. As it says, I'm getting a lot of people telling me about this abstract that appeared in Circulation, which is arguably the top-rated journal on cardiology. Yes, that's a big deal, but nobody is listening. Cardiac risk could go up 1,000 times after vaccination, and it wouldn't matter. Nobody is listening. I shouldn't have emphasized that. It's just the point is he's saying it could go up to the limit, as high as you could possibly imagine, and nobody would care because nobody is listening. This article is proof of that, and I agree. I've been saying it for a long time. Here's from the article that we read the last show. These changes resulted in an increase of the PULS score from 11% over 5 years to 25% over 5 years. That's staggering. At the time of this report, these changes persist for at least 2.5 months post the second dose. So you're talking about a month and a half, then 2.5 months after that. We conclude that the mRNA vaccine dramatically increases inflammation on the endothelium and T-cell infiltration of cardiac muscle and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination. It's just disgusting this is being dismissed, ignored. It's not disgusting, guys. It's flagrant. You need to look at this and know that some level out there is willfully keeping this from you. That's why there's no way that I can't see this at some level being malicious. I mean, look, at the best case scenario, you could argue that they're doing this bad thing. They're willfully ignoring this risk and keeping it from your view for some abstract greater good, depopulation, because we're all going to die if we don't reduce the population, or because of the Great Reset, whatever. It doesn't matter. What it boils down to is they're willfully ignoring your risks now for whatever reason you want to insert. That's crazy, dangerous, and sinister in my mind. As the saying, which I kind of goes both ways, and I've argued this isn't a fair statement in the past, but it works in the point to say, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. Because some you could argue that some people ultimately would, you know, like do a good thing and make a mistake. It doesn't mean that good intentions are bad, but it does. You do need to realize that there are people out there that are manipulated by people above them into thinking that they're doing the bad thing for the right reasons. Nobody would argue that murdering people in overseas foreign policy is somehow a good thing, but they argue it's a means to an end to fight the bad guys. You see how that works? But we're murdering people. Right. Stillborn babies. There is a 29-time increase in the rate of stillborn babies in Waterloo, Ontario. We just reported this to you. That started after vaccination programs rolled out. All the mothers of the stillborn babies were vaccinated. All of them. I'm sure this is happening everywhere, but nobody in the U.S. wants to lose their job over this. So why is the CDC saying this is perfectly safe for pregnant women? Even though, as I just showed you, the FDA still, as of November 19th, says available data on this injection administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform vaccine-associated risks in pregnancy. Right, so they're literally doing, we don't know whether it's safe, yet they're telling pregnant women that it's perfectly safe. There is no confusing what's happening right there. The good news, of course, is that this only appears to be happening in areas of the world, I love this, where they release data to the public on what's going on. Not even like a hint of sarcasm there, like to make you, it's somebody, he's being sarcastic. It's dripping with sarcasm, and I love it because, you know, most people try to make sure you see that. The internet has killed sarcasm. But he says, and I love this, think about what he's saying there. The good news, of course, is this terrible thing is only happening in places where they're releasing data on the situation, which basically means it's probably happening everywhere and only certain places are, for whatever reason, showing you the data so we can see it. Because they're not telling you it's happening. It's only being exposed by people like Steve, like myself, like the Highwire, people that are pointing it out. He goes on to say, one place is Scotland, because they're releasing the data. Investigation launched into abnormal spike in newborn babies' deaths in Scotland. We just reported that to you. This only started post-vaccine, and I bet that all the moms were vaccinated. Isn't it odd that they don't list the vax status of the moms? Another place is Canada, but only thanks to a courageous whistleblower. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. And it goes on. And there's a lot of other good stuff in here down here about the, you know, prion disease, which we discussed before, and so on. It's very obvious. Double your risk of cardiac incidents. Stillborn babies up 29 times in the vaccinated. But, you know, none of that counts, though. This is an important study that they're ignoring. Please make sure you keep this one. Share it. Dramatically increase your inflammatory markers. There's no misunderstanding that. Now, keeping this in mind, let's go over to the data where we can prove what he's trying to say there, that the risks are very heavily weighted on the side of the injected. Here is Jamie Jenkins, an award-winning journalist, apparently, who's written for BBC, which I don't know. You know, makes me question. I'm just joking. BBC is a terrible, disgusting, flaming dumpster fire of propaganda, but this person seems to be pointing out important information. New data from Public Health Wales shows the rate of people with COVID-19 is higher among the vaccinated age 18 plus than the unvaccinated group. The age ranges are broad, but when the first minister talks of controlling cases, this shows vaccine passport policy is pointless. Now, understand what he's saying. Because remember, there are two sides to this, not sides, but points in the conversation, discussing the, let's just call it the incidence per 100,000 people, the percentage of the category. Then there is the overall picture about whether or not, regardless of the risk to the category, how many people are hospitalized in total and whether or not there are more hospitalizations happening on the side of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And then factoring in those percentage of per 100,000, what that looks like. I guess you can call it basically three things at the end of the day, but you'll see, and this is very important because these things are being mashed together. And in fact, in a lot of ways being discussed simultaneously and dancing back and forth when it suits the narrative. Now, first of all, what I think is funny, B. Johnson says, does it though? What's the relative size of each group? Clearly missing that the data he's pointing to is actually making that point, because this is the narrative. This is what you're supposed to say. They're assuming he's saying, it's happening more on the side of the unvaccinated or on the vaccinated. But what he's actually saying, and you'll see right here, is pointing to the fact that the per 100,000 is higher in that age group. 962 to 769. So what's funny is this person who commented this, that's exactly what he's pointing out. He just showed you that, and you didn't even look at what he said. You just regurgitated what you think you're supposed to say. This is frustrating. That's why I continue to think that it's just a waste of time to engage, which, by the way, I just did today, which has continued to show me that Twitter is a meaningless waste of time in regard to trying to change people's minds. post the information, and if people are interested in changing potentially their minds, then they can look at it. Now, here's the data he's pointing to. Thank you, Jamie, for pointing this out. Surveillance of vaccine status in confirmed COVID episodes of hospital inpatients. Of course, confirmed means PCR test, which is in no way confirmed, but taking that at face value, arguing within the narrative, let's look at this. Protection against hospitalization is estimated at around 95% after the second dose of the vaccine. You know why that makes me laugh out loud? Because that's in no way, even way, shape, or form, does that even closely associate with the data that's right beneath this. They're telling you that you have a 95% protection against being hospitalized if you get COVID after the second dose. But let's look at the data. Oh, well, this just, you can see the main page. Here's the next one. Okay. Table one, comparison of confirmed episodes first of COVID-19. COVID-19, so just people getting COVID-19. It's funny they call it episodes. I'm going to point out a few different examples throughout the day today of shifting verbiage and very clear reasons why they're doing so. In fact, I'll just start with this one right here. A fully vaccinated individual, which somebody just pointed out, by the way, even the term fully vaccinated is a ridiculous pharma. The term vaccinated is something. Fully vaccinated is, yes, being used in a clinical sense today. But the point is, where that came from was not a hospital, or it wasn't a scientific term, right? Being vaccinated is one thing. Being fully vaccinated seems to be what continues to be added to this idea of getting multiple series of vaccinations. But to be clear, there's always been, at least for a long time, been multiple series shots. So it's a point you could see. I don't think the concept of fully vaccinated, you could just say that means they're vaccinated. It's kind of the idea of the fully approved concept. Either way, the point being, going past that, it says a fully vaccinated individual is a person who was vaccinated with a full dose course and has had at least 14 days elapsed since their dose 2 day. As of the start of the 2 week period. Now, what that first of all means is that there are a lot of people in the category who have already been injected, even with both doses, who will have something happen and then still go down as not as fully vaccinated or unvaccinated. There's only two categories. So you're either fully vaccinated, which means you have two doses, or see, this is where it gets ridiculous. Today it's three, especially in the UK. So three doses and 14 days later. Unvaccinated means anybody who hasn't had a shot, anybody who's had one shot, anybody who's had two shots, anybody who's had three shots and before 14 days. That's unvaccinated. There's no missing why that even then puts you should be questioning all of this data. But even with that manipulation, we're going to show you why it shows you still the opposite of what they want you to see. But the main point here is a full dose course, right? If a full dose course is not what it used to say, it used to say two shots. Now they change it to full dose course because now they can just keep it that way. That could mean 17 shots. It could mean 100 shots. It could mean a shot every 6 months for the rest of your life. As long as you got the full dose course, if you're within their definition. But the reason they changed it to full dose course is because now it's three, as we kept telling you. So now you're not fully vaccinated unless you meet whatever they've defined as full dose course going forward. And of course, it also says comparison of COVID-19 hospital admissions, which just seems to be interesting and not, oh, excuse me, no, there's a point about hospital. No, going forward, where was that? Hold on, so I don't forget. I'm going to lose myself on the hospital. Dude, okay, I think that might have been a different category. Any case, going forward, I hope I don't forget it. There is something about hospital admissions that I feel like I'm missing right now, but going forward, let's look at the category. So here's what he was just showing you. Right there. Aged 18 to 60. That's what he meant by it's a huge category. But he said 18 plus. Okay. So fully vaccinated population as of the beginning of the year in Wales, there were 13,729 confirmed episodes. Unvaccinated, same time frame, 18 to 60, there were 2,373 episodes. Then, okay, so that's the first part. So you can clearly point and say, look, there's exponentially more cases in the fully vaccinated. That's when you trigger the person on Twitter that says, but where are the breakdowns, right? Just like this. But what's the relative size of each group? What's the percentage per 100,000? Okay, then that's what he just pointed to. Rate per 100,000 in the population, age to 60, 18 to 60, 962. for fully vaccinated. Unvaccinated, 769 per 100,000. Okay, so even there, guys, this, they can't keep going, well, it makes sense because there's more people, but the percentage is dangerous. It shows you right there exactly what he just described to you, that you have a higher rate per 100,000 in the 18 to 60 group if you're fully vaccinated than you do if you're unvaccinated. That does not align with their narrative in any way, shape, or form. There's more cases in general. There's more rate per 100,000 in Wales. We're just talking about Wales right now. But that's also backed up by all the other data, which we're going to show you yet again. But think about how crazy that is. Now, yes, I could point out that in the over 60, for instance, first of all, make sure you see that there are still far, far more cases in the fully vaccinated over 60, 4,327 compared to 126 in the unvaccinated. However, per 100,000, they argue that the rate is lower still. Now, again, I question a lot of this stuff. Regardless, guys, the point is that this aged 18 to 60, which means the vast majority, 1,426,000, in fact, of the total, the majority are happening in the fully vaccinated. And then on top of that, you're still having the majority of cases happen in the vaccinated categories, even if you argue the risk is still higher in the full unvaccinated part of that. I hope that's clear. I mean, it just, in no way does that align with their narrative. Now, the next part is hospitalizations. Now, this is where we get back to their argument that it's mostly unvaccinated in the hospitals. Same discussion. Same thing down here about fully vaccinated too. Okay, it says, same point, aged 18 to 60. Now, here you will find in all these categories, they argue that the risk is higher in the unvaccinated per 100,000. Just to make that clear, right out of the gate. That's not what I'm arguing on this point. What I'm arguing, though, is that they're right now claiming that there is more people in the hospitals, not more percentage risk, more people in the hospitals than that are unvaccinated than there are vaccinated. That's all we're hearing. It's overwhelmed with unvaccinated patients. The majority are unvaccinated patients. Okay, how about in Wales? Not true. Here's the total. There are 2,247,381 COVID-19 hospital admissions in this time frame. Okay, fully vaccinated. How many were there? Where are we here? Hold on. Where am I losing my spot here? So over 60, age 18, let's start going from the middle. 18 to 60. We have 251 hospital admissions, age 18 to 60. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so this one was not, I know what I did here. So the point being here is in their data here, they're showing you that there is more risk for hospitalization in the unvaccinated category. Just making sure I'm not mixing that up. I think I mixed it up with one of the other ones. Regardless, that wasn't the point, though. The point is the overall data in regard to the rate per 100,000 on the cases in general. Then I had this one, too, in regard to the deaths. But hold on, make sure I'm not missing something here. Yeah. So basically what the breakdown still shows you, the number in the unvaccinated category is lower. I had too many things highlighted here and I'm losing my place, is lower. 129 hospitalizations in the unvaccinated category between 18 to 60, but 251 in the fully vaccinated category. That's the main point. I got confused with all the extra highlights because there are other points that show you that these things are different in general. Now I'll make that in a second. But the one point I don't want you to miss here, fully vaccinated, 1,406,600 hospitalizations. Number of hospital admissions, 251. Number of hospital admissions in the unvaccinated, 129. Okay, so regardless of the percentage, I'm sorry if that got confusing for a second, the percentages per 100,000, they argue, is still more risk, right? But if they're telling you right here that the hospital admissions are more in the majority category, the 18 to 60, that's the vast majority, how does that align with more people hospitalized that are unvaccinated versus vaccinated? It doesn't. 251 versus 129. Even if you think they're more risk of being hospitalized, that's not what's happening in the hospitals. They have more people fully vaccinated. Even if you think that's over, that makes sense because most of them are vaccinated. That's not what they're selling you. They're screaming about the unvaccinated taking over everything. All the hospitals are overwhelmed with unvaccinated, at the very least in Wales. And then we're going to go to the UK in general next. That's not what the data shows you. Now, the reason I had the other things highlighted is because you can look and see that they are still arguing that over 60, let's say, that there are more people still in the fully vaccinated category than the unvaccinated category. Over 60, there are 688 hospitalizations in fully vaccinated. On unvaccinated side, over 60 is only 73. Now, again, yes, they argue that the rate is higher, but you have the majority, other than under 18, which basically has zero to add to it, that all of them are vastly on the side of the fully vaccinated. So percentages aside, that is absolutely challenging their narrative. 100%. Okay, here. So this is what I did. I mixed this up. I was confusing myself and I had to go back to basics. So final point on this discussion here, or on this point of discussion, the total number in hospitalizations, 939 on the fully vaccinated side. This is the total, 246 on the unvaccinated side. So in Wales, the vast majority of their hospitalizations are fully vaccinated. There is no misunderstanding that. Even if you want to argue that the percentage is higher. But guess what? Even in Wales, the total, get rid of all this stuff real quick so it's not as confusing for those watching. The total, guys, the total at the bottom in the orange shows you that there is 42 rate per 100,000 in the fully vaccinated, and the unvaccinated, it's 44. How does any of this align with what they're saying? So basically, they're admitting you have basically the same risk of being hospitalized, whether or not you have the injection. Total. That is the total. How do you walk away from this arguing that this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated? So I wish I wouldn't have gotten mixed up there for a second because I feel like it lessens the point, but please look at this for yourself. Now, the next one, going over to vaccine status in confirmed episodes. Now, again, episodes. I find that interesting that they're calling them episodes now. But this is just an overall picture of vaccine status in those episodes. Now, look what it says. Vaccinated both doses. All patients, it's 60%. Now, of course, they're going to say yes, because they're all just the same narrative you keep hearing. But only 16% in the unvaccinated. Now, you can argue quite clearly that there's more than only 16% unvaccinated. So even that does not align with their general narrative. But going over to under 18, I find some interesting points here. 54% unknown. Now, that's pretty self-serving, isn't it? Unknown? How is it possible that 54% of the cases in the 18 category, under 18, are unknown? Which almost says this whole process has become COVID because they want it to. 29% of the unvaccinated, they say. 54 unknown. How much you want to bet there's a reason that that's labeled unknown? My thoughts, 80% of the total cases in the age 18 to 60 are in the fully vaccinated. Over 60, 95%. Now, jumping down to the hospitalization, same point. Vaccinated both doses. So here again is the main point of the hospitalization. In all patients in Wales, 83% of their hospitalizations are fully vaccinated. 83%. Only 12% of their hospitalizations are people that are unvaccinated. And even then, that includes people with one shot who got sick and went hospitalized, people that got two shots and got sick and got hospitalized, people that got three shots and got sick before 14 days. It's a month and a half period where they're still being injected and they're still getting sick and they're still being called COVID-19, even though those are likely vaccine side effects, the spike protein, all sorts of other things causing these problems and being labeled COVID-19, or who knows, maybe the mask causing pneumonia. There's a million reasons this could be something else. Regardless, it's being labeled as unvaccinated, regardless of despite the fact that they have the injections in their body, which are lowering their immune system, causing all sorts of problems to rise up, increasing your risk of catching COVID for the first 7 days to 50%. This is just ridiculous, guys. Couldn't be more clear. Under 18, the same point I just made. Under 18, 63% of the problems they're pointing to are unknown. You know how much that would skew the information if they decided to find out or actually wrote it down? Well, regardless, same thing, 18 to 60, 61% of the hospitalizations, over 90, 92%. It's just unbelievably obvious. This is all predominantly happening on the side of the fully vaccinated. Now, as Chrissy points out, and you've seen before, the same results from the data on the government's vaccine surveillance reports. They've now taken to hiding the last two columns as they were raising too many questions. Now, she points to the one from week 40, which were showing you that the cases specifically per vaccinated, the per 100,000 were aggressively on the vaccinated side. Look, remember this. We went over it on the show. It's very, very strongly slanted to even the per 100,000 breakdown. So that still does not make sense with what they're trying to say. It's showing that people are getting far, far sicker in the case of the vaccinated, but this is just cases. But she makes a good point. They did take those two things away. But before we get to that graph, here's what The Guardian had to say on the 21st. ICU is full of the unvaccinated. Now, is that them playing word games? And they're going to say, well, we didn't say majority. We just meant fools. There was a lot of them. No, because the article generally gets into arguing that it's the majority. But it says, my patience with them is wearing thin, says Anonymous. Great journalism, Guardian. Just dump this to somebody. Anybody, anywhere is willing to say what you want them to say. This anonymous person. Why would it be anonymous exactly? Maybe it didn't even happen. Maybe they made it up. Certainly possible. They have before. Regardless, the point is, one, they're pretending that it's mostly the vaccinated, even though we're going to show you yet again that it's clearly not. We just looked at Wales, which was plainly obvious. We'll look at all of the UK next. But they're also going, our patients is wearing thin. What does that mean? Are you going to not treat them? I mean, if that's not what the logical step there is, then why even say that? What do you mean your patients is wearing thin? So what? Do your job. Aren't you supposed to treat people and help them regardless of what they're doing? Regardless of their medical choices? Do no harm is your oath? Right. But not in this case, though. Nothing is sacred during COVID-19 clown world. Most of the resources the NHS is devoting to COVID in hospital are being spent on people who have not had the jab. So there you go right there. Most of the resource. Now they're pretending that all these unvaccinated people in the hospital, which are not the majority, are sucking up all the resources of what? Okay, why exactly? Why are you arguing that they're sucking up more resources than the majority of people you have in there, which are you're claiming are COVID-19 vaccinated people? Well, there's no logic to it. They're just claiming that. In hospital, COVID-19 has largely become a disease of the unvaccinated. Exactly. So read it for yourself if you want to waste your time. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. It's good to read these things so you can see what they're trying to manipulate you with. But here it is again, for the umpteenth time, starting with cases. Or excuse me, I forgot. I removed the other ones. Cases, I've shown you these many times. This is week 46, which basically means between week 42 and 45. I'm waiting on 47 to come out. I'll show it to you when it does. This is table 4. COVID-19 cases presenting with emergency care. This is the hospitalization. Here's what it finds yet again. The breakdown, specifically over 80, is obvious. 1,821 total hospitalizations in the category of over 80 who presented with COVID-19. Only 204 were not vaccinated. 1,578 were post 14 days after two shots. It's very clear. Same with the rest of them. Now, just to cut to the chase, I did the math for you. There's a total of 9,831 in the total category. You add these up, it comes to 9,831 hospitalizations. Now, remember, there's some that are unlinked. Small portion, but they're unlinked, so that means that the total won't be 100%. But the not vaxxed category is 3,200. Okay, so that's this total category added up. 3,200. That's 32.5% of all their hospitalizations in that multiple week period. Now, vaxxed side is 6,233. That amounts to 63.4% and some change of this category right here. And that's just this category. Oops. That is just this category. I didn't include the one shot on either of them, which would increase it a little bit, but enough. So there's no misunderstanding that. 63.4% of the hospitalizations, all this right here, are fully vaccinated. So whether or not you want to argue that the percentage is higher, which, again, the data actually shows it's not true, but that's a different discussion in this moment. What the point is that if they're claiming the majority are hospitalized, unvaccinated, and their data is literally showing you the opposite, how do we make sense of that? You have to see that they're lying to you. And the unlinked is the remainder of the information. Now, here is a New Zealand nurse explaining to you what she's seeing in the hospital, which continues to point out exactly what we're saying.
The bulk of the patients will be vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you get segregated, you get put in a different part of ED, put into isolation. And people, they just, I mean, I had one consultant on my last night. She stood in front of our big board with everybody, all the patients and all their symptoms, and she said, "What's going on? Why have we got so many patients? It's all cardiac, short of breath, you know, collapses, falls." And I just can say, tick, 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 this is adverse reaction. All of our wards are full, you know, of people having cardiac problems, people with flare-ups from their cancer, like you name it. It's just, I guarantee our hospital is full of vaccine damage. It's just, people are blind. People just cannot see it.
Now, she goes on to ask some other questions that you might find relevant. I just wanted to show that part. There's actually a part two beneath it down here. Feel free to watch it. She talked about cancer, right? She talked about the cardiac events. Now, recognize, guys, that there's a huge portion of people that are being labeled unvaccinated after, let's say, having an infection, getting natural immunity, and then getting the injection because they were manipulated into it or convinced to get it. That has been shown very clearly to increase your risk of adverse events, increase your risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. Regardless, how about just whether or not you have an increased risk, the vaccine itself is causing these problems. So you have people that are getting injected and then having these problems, going to the hospital and then getting labeled as a cardiac arrest, a cardiac, a heart attack, but unvaccinated. That's happening very clearly. So what she's telling you right there is, according to her and plenty of other people that have spoken out, nurses left and right, the majority of people in their hospitals that they're labeling unvaccinated are dealing with the problems that are being caused by the injection. It's all over the place. Here's Forbes arguing something that will make you laugh out loud, which I'm going to make the point that this is how aggressively they play with the data. They manipulate the statistics. Pfizer's COVID-19 shot, despite what we just went over, offers 100% long-term protection for young teens. Trial shows. Oh, son of a gun. Dang it. Just highlighted everything. I don't think I had too much in here. 100%, they say. Again, I don't even know how this is something that they're, this is embarrassing. 100%? You realize how, like, mathematically, scientifically, that's stupid. You just don't say 100% because it's not true. It doesn't matter whether you manipulated your data to come out and remove people from the study enough to come out to a 100% number. To pretend that this is a 100% protection is just not only blatantly wrong, and the data doesn't, it shows you that's wrong, but it's also just illogical. There are going to be some people that it just doesn't work for regardless. So you can never claim 100%. And we used to know that, and they know that. They just don't care. Pfizer and biotech, and here's the other point to think about, guys. What happened to Comirnaty? You notice how they just dropped off the map? Nope, none of the media are talking. Now they're talking about the next phases, the next administrations, and they're saying Pfizer and biotech. You know why they're saying that? Because they're not giving Comirnaty, because as they tell you, that's a legally distinct product. But isn't it weird that they're no longer even talking about it? Everybody who's getting this shot right now is getting an unapproved experimental injection. Not that the approved version, that's the same thing with actually additions that make it, in my opinion, more concerning, is any different. But at the end of the day, they're playing games with people. And I think the main point is that there's indemnity here. All the problems coming along, they're not held accountable for because this is an experimental emergency authorized injection. Now, going forward, it says, they announced Monday their jointly developed coronavirus vaccine offered strong long-term protection against COVID-19 in teenagers 12 to 15. Data, the company said, will support planned submissions for full regulatory approval in the U.S. Yeah, of course. Oh, so the data that we're telling you that you blindly reported without looking at what we have to show you, of course that supports our plan to make this happen for children that don't need it. I wonder whether that leaned into their decision, right? Yes, the data supports our choices to make more money. Of course it does. Good job, Pfizer, or excuse me, good job, Forbes, for not checking what they're saying, because you couldn't, because it's not out there for anyone to see yet, but blindly report what Pfizer said. That's bad journalism, but that's what they do today. Pfizer said the two doses of the vaccine were 100% effective against COVID-19. Can you believe they're even saying that? Like, they're not even trying to play the word games where they say, you know, effective against hospitalization and death, or they're making this sound like this is 100%. You take this shot and nothing will happen to you. Not only is that dangerously incorrect because the shot can cause all sorts of problems, but this is not true. What they're probably leaning into is the fact that these kids have no risk anyway. So they're going, well, they're not going to get COVID anyway because they're not going to get it anyway. So let's give them the shot and claim it's 100% effective. But it's just, this is my opinion. But it makes me mad that they're getting away and they're allowing them to get away with claiming something that is so dangerous when all of the data does not back that up. You realize this is the same shot. Whether or not they did a new thing for only 12 to 15s, this is the same thing we just showed you. All the same data for the same injection that is just as unjustified, just as dangerous, able to cause dramatically increased inflammation, right? Dramatically increase your inflammatory response. The same thing that can cause all sorts of increases in babies, stillborn babies by 29%. All the other things we keep pointing out. That is the same shot they're still saying is okay. Think about that. Now I'm going to go past this. We'll go to the next part. Here is what a space goddess who reached out to me and sent this to me said. My husband had to go to the ER last night while at work, right? So something happened at work and had to go to the ER. Injury, cut, something like that. When I got there, they wouldn't let me back to see him because I wasn't vaccinated. I said my husband isn't vaccinated either. And the security guard said, well, he's a patient. Right. So is this supposed to keep him safe? He's not vaccinated. She's not vaccinated. It has nothing to do with COVID-19, but now you won't let him back there. She said, what if he was dying, bleeding out on the table? Would I not be able to possibly say goodbye to him? Exactly. That's already happened. People I know personally were not able to see their dying family members because they said, nope, you can't. And there was absolutely zero difference, she says, between her husband and her, except that he had the title of patient. I guess COVID stops circulating as long as you are given that status. Guys, this is disgusting. And what they're doing is using this to control everything. There's no logical justification for this other than control. How can you argue that she's not allowed to see them? She's not sick. And that's how look, you don't test everybody coming to the hospital for flu. But yet it's somehow crazy not to, what if they might have COVID? We don't know. It's just so ridiculous. Especially since the data shows that it's basically the same risk for the vast majority of people. But child lost to COVID, they argue, and this is the same point in regard to statistics and how they play the games. First of all, child lost to COVID, they say. Headline, which the vast majority of the title skimmers will share and talk about without reading the information. But here's what it says. However, it was revealed that coronavirus was not the reason for either his hospital admission or death. Oh, great. So that either means that they went in the hospital, got COVID while in the hospital and died, which is what they've shown you from the beginning is where the vast majority of transmission is happening. On top of that, it could also be that they didn't have any of this and went in for a different reason and just got a test in addition to that and died from whatever they went in for. And then it went down as COVID because they said COVID because they tested him. They already admitted that's happening. Like I told you the last one, where the person died from a gunshot wound, they tested him after he died and still labeled it a COVID-19 death. That's a real story. Here is Dr. Tom Fiden, just a mindless repeater he literally says, in September, unvaccinated people were 5 to 8 times more likely to get COVID and 14 times more likely to die from it. That's not true. According to the CDC, exactly. Protect yourself from people around you. Get vaccinated. Well, you remember, we literally just went over this. As I said, according to the CDC, exactly. Maybe we should start thinking for ourselves instead of trusting the CDC's open manipulation of data, as even the WHO, as I've shown you, the HHS, as I've shown you, the BMJ, as I've shown you, all pointed out prior to 2020 that the CDC was creating pandemics of fear, that they were manipulating pneumonia and flu, and it wasn't accurate, and it shouldn't be done. All of them called this out. I've shown you all this on the show before. The WHO being the most important one, where they were saying, look, guys, this can't go on. Something shifted for sure because they got quiet. And then here's where we are, where they're literally doing it. And they included COVID-19 to it as well. Regardless, what he's telling you is not true. And this is just a great outline from this Substack article. But I've shown you the studies that argue this, the other studies from experts and scientists and doctors that are coming out and saying the thing the CDC just put out about the increase, the fact that that your injection works better than natural immunity by 5.8 times. It is insultingly manipulated. And they're all calling it out. They don't care, though. The CDC does this as a matter of policy. As this article, as I just went over, I'm not going to go over it all again, read it for yourself, makes the point to say that what they did was manipulate this stuff by using, as we continue to show you, adding age manipulations or specific time frames that don't really apply to anything. They just arbitrarily pick one. And if you extend that time frame, well, what do you know? It shows you the real picture. The reality here is every single one of their data breakdowns show that the predominant issue was fully vaccinated versus not. Every single one of them, until you break it down in a weird, manipulated, hold it up in the sun just right, and get what they want you to see. His conclusion, which I agree with, is the claims made by the CDC as a result of the study that fully vaccinated patients enjoyed a 5.49 times greater protection, which, by the way, apparently Tom can't even get his number straight, than the unvaccinated counterparts who enjoyed natural immunity. He says it was blatantly, categorically absurd, disingenuous, unethical, dishonest, and contrary to the public good. It's very clear to see that they played this to get it exactly how they want. Historically speaking, natural immunity is always better. That is what injections are framed on. Suddenly, apparently, in COVID clown world, natural immunity is a conspiracy theory. I don't know how much more people need to see. Here is Sweden, as Ivor Cummings has been pointing out the whole time, as I've tried to do myself, completely old normal in Sweden, right? So as they're over here going, you're all going to die unless you take this thing. It's all the unvaccinated, right? Okay, well, here's a place where most of them are like that. Well, look, bottom line is it was a choice. I would argue we wouldn't even know for sure because it doesn't seem that that's even being really... There's a lot of people out there that aren't playing the game that the rest of the world is. Sweden did not do lockdowns. They did not force masks. They didn't force distancing. They didn't force any of this stuff. And they are clearly showing you that that is the way to go. Now, there are people out there that are reaching out and saying... It's not fair to say that it's all great in Sweden. And I don't think I'm necessarily saying that Sweden is fantastic in every possible way. But I am saying that they're showing you that doing things a little different than what they were being forced to do is clearly a right direction. And nobody's talking about it. Right? People are talking about the passport discussion. Right. And that's the thing, though. I aggressively disagree with that. Sweden has always been on the side of the greater, you know, the kind of the great reset, kind of the climate change agenda. Right. But if they're forcing the passport is one thing. I'm still concerned with where the government's going. Maybe it's a manipulation in the long run. Who knows? But if they're not forcing the passport, which I don't see evidence of, then it's still something to point to as a choice. That's what I've always said. If they're giving you a choice to make your own decisions in any sense of this, that is something we should be okay with for the time being, at least. Completely old normal in Sweden. Everywhere. No masks, no distancing, no passports, no anti-scientific sinister nonsense, and the lowest COVID issues in Europe. Think about that, guys. They're exploding in Europe all over the place with the high. They're talking about a new lockdown in all of Europe because things are getting out of control, and they're blaming Delta because the unvaccinated, except none of that makes sense when you look at Sweden. How is that possible? If they're dealing, the argument should be that they should be overrun if it's only because of the unvaccinated. They just don't care to point this out. Santa is on board, as it says here. You can see it for yourself.
No masks, no distancing. That's what your life used to be like, guys.
Right? Think about that for a second. For all those that think we're crazy, whatever, even those that don't, that's what they took away from everybody. And they had no right to. They had no legal authority to. Their lives are normal. They're walking around, enjoying their holidays, hugging their families, going to the park. Normal. There's no evidence in any way that this is overwhelming the population because almost a lot of them are unvaccinated. They're not distancing. They're not wearing masks. It's all going to end. There's no possible way that lines up with what they're saying. It's just that simple. Here's another example. With no lockdown, no masks, kids in school throughout, Sweden's rolled up mortality since January 2020 is actually lower than it would normally be. Think about that. I say that all the time. Credit to Michael Levitt for the data. please look into this stuff, guys, because the obvious reality is that every way you spin this, unless you do it just the way they tell you to look at it, it's showing you that this is not what they're saying it is. You can't pretend that Sweden made a wrong choice when in every possible way it's revealing to be the right choice so far. But you know what? It still doesn't even matter if they were forcing even that choice on you. I would have a problem. It's about you being given the authority to make your own decisions. That's what they will never, never go back to unless we make them. Here's Kim Iverson just pointing out the reality. Good on her. South Korea, 80% fully vaccinated. Surging cases and deaths. How do you make sense of that? Their narrative is falling apart. As Shu points out, this is very upsetting to me. Dear God, help me protect my child. My baby's attending doctor has ordered patient advocate and a social worker to get me to give them consent to vaccinate my five-year-old against COVID-19. Apparently, I'm not making the, quote, safest choice for my own child. Right. So this is where they pretend like, yeah, so you get to make your own choices. It's your choice. You're a free country, right? Go make your own decisions. Oh, you want that choice? Well, now, you know, take it back. Now you can't. So were you really allowed to make your own choices, or were they just pretending? It's like giving you that fake steering wheel in the back of the car, right? You're the child thinking you're driving when all you're doing is turning that pink steering wheel over and over and over and acting like you're driving the car. If they don't let you make the choice, then you're not actually able to make your own choices. It's the illusion of democracy, the illusion of choice, just like our fake democracy. It's all of the same things. And they're proving that to you by continuing to force this down the throats of all the people that have already said no. Clearly, it was never a choice. And Malone points out, in this disgusting reality, experts are saying the vaccine immunity is waning. Signs that Israel's facing their fifth COVID wave. Oh, you mean the group that has one of the highest booster dose administrations? Weird. The expert cabinet advising the Israel's government said that the children's vaccination drive would not be enough by itself to halt the spread of COVID. Here's the article itself. The expert health panel advising Israel's government believes that another COVID wave is on the horizon in light of waning vaccine effectiveness. Exactly what we always told you was happening. We proved it to you. They censored us for. Now they're admitting it, now that they're allowed to admit it. We told you that would happen way back then. Yeah, they censored them all. Shocking. Anybody paying attention can see how right we've been about this, along with a lot of people who are being honest about it. It says, and that the children's vaccination drive would not be enough by itself to halt the pandemic. So first point, what does that show you? That they're knowingly injecting people that don't need this, who are not at risk, so they can protect themselves. Now, if that was just another category of their age grouping in adults, maybe that would be one thing. But you're injecting the vulnerable. You're injecting the children that you're supposed to be protecting with something that puts them at risk, that you've admitted increases their risks, so you can be protected. That makes you a coward. That makes you a disgusting human being. But here's the second part. This comes amid the launch of Israel's vaccine drive for children aged 5 to 11 on Tuesday and an accelerating infection rate. So they're doing this, advising this, discussing the children's vaccine drive while there's an accelerating infection rate. And it says, this process ending a 10-week standstill of coronavirus spread in the country. Okay, that doesn't really line up exactly. But you know what it shows you is that that nothing was happening. There was a standstill in the spread, they argue, until they began the injections of the children and the drive to put out the boosters. You can't keep missing this reality that the injection perfectly correlates with the rise of problem in every place you look right now. Every place you look, and the places that aren't are dramatically low on the scale of risk. The places with the lowest vaccination rates seem to be the places with the lowest COVID problem right now. If you can't recognize or at least admit that that's happening, even if you want to argue it's for a different reason, then you're lying to yourself. Now, finishing this up, the lockdown conversation needs to be discussed. Austria infuriates many with full lockdown, as Germany warns it may follow suit. You know, what do they mean by full lockdown? Of course, what they're, you know, tactfully avoiding saying is that all of them are being locked down, vaccinated included. And we already told you this. We already told you they were going to go back to, which shows you that they said only the unvaccinated. And then when that didn't do anything and it was still going crazy, they go, well, vaccinated too then. What does that show you? They jammed the vaccinated in because they were the ones that kept the problem going, guys. It's that simple. And the reality is when they say full lockdown, it's because they don't want to tell you that it includes the injected. But it says Austria to reimpose full lockdown for everybody. Germany can't rule out the same thing. And Austria is mandating the vaccine for everyone on February 1st. Everyone. Do you think that's going to not include children? Don't lie to yourself. Austria will become the first country in Western Europe to reimpose a full COVID lockdown. You know, that thing that dramatically hurt the most people, that destroyed the economies, that put children at higher risk, increased teen suicide, destroyed everything you could possibly point to, and actually had a very minimal effect, if at all. Actually, maybe there's plenty of studies that showed an increased risk of COVID-19. Regardless, let's just simply put it as unverified. They're still jamming it back in for COVID-19. Does that show you them following the science or caring about the science? No, it's about narrative and keeping the lockdown justification going right up into climate change, Great Reset territory. Austria said in addition to lockdown, it would require the whole population to be vaccinated from February 1st. The whole population. Both the people that don't need this, who aren't at risk, who have an increased risk with the injection, are being forced to take it for the safety of these old politicians. Both decisions infuriated many in the country, where skepticism about state mandates affecting individual freedoms runs high. Encouraged by the far-right Freedom Party. Seriously? Please don't miss how they framed that. Both decisions of these aggressively unjustified things that are hurting everything were infuriating many of the people in the country, where skepticism about the mandates affecting your freedom runs high. Okay, so people that are skeptical about your freedoms being taken away, they go, whoa, that was encouraged by the far-right party. What was the concern for our freedom? Ooh, what a far right concept, freedom. Which, by the way, is not even a far right or a far left thing. It's a not, that's a human right. That far left, far right, the government doesn't care about your freedom. But the way they try to frame it in a two-party system discussion is obvious, because you already heard me rail on about that forever. But just take a note how these people are framing concern for the loss of freedom as a bad thing. I know you've seen that. We all feel it. They're banging on about your human rights. That's what that lady said. As if concern for human rights being removed is a childish, dumb thing that we should put away. At least in the context of a pandemic, which we're not actually dealing with. Encouraged by the far-right Freedom Party. It's just funny. The party leader posted a picture on Facebook with the inscription, quote, "As of today, Austria is a dictatorship. The party is planning to protest on Saturday, but he cannot attend because he has tested positive for COVID," they say. It's just funny the way that they push this forward. It's so obvious that they have an agenda, that they're doing this in a way that they want you to see it, instead of just reporting the facts to you. Now, plenty of people would argue that I only look for what I want to see, but that's not true. And I could be wrong, surely. I could be missing things. But I go out of my way to look into stuff that counterbalances this. But of course, I'm not going to report to you something that I think is ridiculous, that I prove in my own research doesn't line up, just to show you what it says. I think people out there just don't want to realize that we are giving you the full picture here by keeping an objective stance in regard to, yes, now, could this be happening for other reasons? Yes, like we say every time. All we're asking for is a full objective conversation, which is not happening. Not in any stretch of the imagination. Here is what the health minister in New Zealand had to say. Now, I kind of take issue. I wanted to share the tweet just because I did see it from her tweet. But guys, we can't quote things if he didn't actually say it. He didn't actually say, "We will hunt you down and we will find you." And I argue that a lot of these shares were because they just quickly shared it, thinking that's what it actually said. I don't think that's malicious. I think there's just something we all need to get better in every way, myself included, in ways that are, you know, just being more accurate is all possible. But here, listen to what he says, because that is the sentiment, though, in a kind way, basically saying, "We're going to find you whether you like it or not." And remember, guys, that shows you that it's not a choice. If you say no, and then they're going to hunt you down, rather come out and find you so they can try to convince you that you're being dangerous for your neighbor, for your grandma, that's alarming. That means it's not a choice. Here's what he says.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Have to go out and find. Right. So I agree with the sentiment. That sound, they're basically suggesting we'll come find you no matter what. Next year might bleed into next year. Somebody says, you know, I thought the same thing. It does look like CGI. It's strange. But what's funny to me is that what they're saying, and oh, by the way, that happens a lot today. Biden and all of them have those weird fake White House backdrops and stuff. It's strange. But the point here is if they're going to hunt you down and that may bleed into next year, you could say no right now. You could turn them down. The next they come knock at your door, you could turn them down again. And next year they'll come back again. So what point is there a choice? At what point do you have the right to say no? You don't, guys. That should be clear by now. You simply do not. And you do, but they're ignoring that right. Here is something shared by COVID-1984. Denver mayor implements vax or mask mandate for businesses. Blames, of course, the need for the mandate on people that haven't been injected, despite the evidence. But ask yourself this. Vax or mask? Okay, so both of things which are not actually having the effect that they're saying they do, both of which have very obvious, verifiable negative effects for your health, especially when you have a situation like this, and I will come back to that, where they are forcing people, actually, I think I saw this from Spiro as well, an indoor mask mandate is now in effect in Santa Cruz that covers private settings like your house. They're forcing people, regardless of vaccination status, mind you. So even if you have the injections, you have to now wear a mask even inside your own home. They'll now be wearing this mask if they're stupid enough to comply the vast majority of their day, which becomes the vast majority of their week, their month, etc. That is dangerous. I mean, there's no way, it doesn't matter how you spin this. Anybody can point out, if you're wearing this thing all the time, the majority of the time, working 5 days a week, wearing it all day at work, taking it off when you drive home, some of them don't, they wear it in the car. Then you're wearing it in your home. This is meant to increase the problem, guys. I don't know how you can see this any other way. That's my opinion. Now, here is the Denver mayor saying, you have to do one of those things. Now, what does this mean to me personally? My opinion is that these are the two things that are driving the illusion. So let's let them take a choice, right? No, but see, this is how they get you in the deal with the devil kind of a thing. The Faustian manipulation we just saw in that study, right? They are letting you think you have a choice when the choice is bad or bad, right? The lesser of two evils. Nope, that's not a choice. You're still voting for evil, guys. The vaccine's increasing your risk. You don't need it. The vast majority of people, and if you want it and you believe it's best for you, that's your choice. The mask has no effect on what we're dealing with today. I shouldn't say that. That's not accurate. It does not have a statistically significant effect on what we're dealing with today. Plenty of experts have come out with that. Plenty of data has come out with that. The one that I always tend to include, just since I've done so much coverage on this, is the Swiss Policy Research one. And this is what I was saying, since I'm glad I have remembered to point that out. You can see here okay, good. So I'm guessing that other one was September. First published July, updated November. But just this month they updated it. Excuse me. Are face masks effective? The evidence. And it goes through all the stuff we've shown you. The CDC data, the Danish study, the European study, the Oxford study, the Cochrane Review, American Institute of Physics, New England Journal of Medicine, BMJ, all of them showing exactly what we're telling you, that they do not help. In fact, they dramatically hurt if you're doing it for extended periods of time, which most doctors don't. And even if they do, it's only, you know, 5-6 hours, and it's not every day forever next time. And the point is, even those that do, let's say surgery on a regular basis, have openly told you that it causes headaches, which means it's causing hypoxia, hypercapnia. It's causing, at least in some degree, manipulation of your body, which to an extended period of time very much leads to a suppressing of your immune system and on and on. And can it cause bacterial pneumonia? Can that happen? Absolutely. This can 100%, if you know, some of the time, lead to bacterial pneumonia, which is diagnosed as COVID-19, PIC. has the same symptoms, can be spread, can be caught.
I have an interesting theory, and really it's based on the facts and the science, that there is an issue happening, especially with the season in regard to the masking and bacterial buildup that is causing bacterial pneumonia. And it seems like a basic conclusion to come to, but it's big conspiracy theory today to even make such a claim. But I find if you have thoughts, go ahead.
Well, not my thoughts. They're the thoughts of Jim Meehan. I interviewed him on my podcast on Breaking Science. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Jim Meehan, MD, he said, if you mask all day long and you mask these kids all day long, they're going to get bacterial infections. Adults are going to get bacterial pneumonia. It's a given in medicine that that's going to happen.
Exactly. Now, you don't have to take his word for it or mine. Just look at the data that we continue to show you, the studies that continue to find that. Now let's listen to what he has to say before we move forward.
Denver, in alignment with our regional partners, will be issuing a public health order requiring masks in indoor settings for most businesses and venues. If they don't want to require masks, your businesses or venues can also implement a vaccine check before entry into your business.
Right, and this is the point I was making before, is this was always happening, regardless of OSHA or anything else. Not that OSHA wasn't an important point. Obviously it was. I've been railing on OSHA and that aspect from long before that became a main talking point. But they're forcing this stuff, right? They are forcing this stuff on mass in situations that don't make sense. They're forcing you. Hold on, let me see what he said again.
Indoor settings for most businesses and venues. If they don't want to require masks, your businesses or venues can also implement a vaccine check.
So that was my point. I'll make sure I didn't forget that. There's no legal standing for this. To pretend that they have the right as a business to force you to wear a mask, or rather even more specifically, that the government has the right to force the business to mandate the mask. It's not true. There's no legal standing for this. I mean, even at the top level, this is just a mandate. There's not even any actual vote from the people. This is dictate from authoritarians. None of this adds up. That's ignoring for the minute the data that shows that they don't even have the effect that they say that they do. In fact, on top of that, the risks that they add. But what you're staring at is authoritarian power, or really just our government's off the rails. You should stand up, dig your feet in, and say, absolutely not. I will not do that. Now, of course, they are going to come at some people. Just depends on how willing you are to fight back.
Before entry into your business, in each case or which case, masks would not be required. Let me say that one more time because I don't want to jumble it up.
Mind you, though, there are places right now, like we just showed you, that are still requiring, in fact, increasing the requirement for masks, even with the fully vaccinated. But, you know, you jump across over the border here and suddenly everything's different. Because that makes sense, right? Wouldn't that arguably mean that one of them is doing something very dangerous and the other one is doing something safe? So which one's which? Who knows? Just listen to whatever they tell you. I mean, this is the silly part of this. How can you go from state to state and have dramatically different safety measures? Because it's nonsense, guys.
Once again, as regional partners, we are issuing what I like to call a mask or mask mandate. Either your venue or business is requiring to proof of vaccination, or you choose to be a place where only masks will be required. But either or, as a venue or a restaurant or type of operation, we are putting a mandate in place. And I didn't want to screw that up, and we'll further clarify as we go forward. This order will go in effect tomorrow and will be in place through January 3rd. Many of our local businesses and venues are already doing this, and we applaud them for being proactive and keeping their customers and workers safe.
Yeah. Well, how about boycott anybody that's forcing this stuff on you? All of them. Every single time we see an example of somebody who gets enough pushback and their bottom line is affected, well, what do you know? They go back on it. The hospitals, the aircraft carrier, I just was reading about that. There's an aircraft carrier group that basically just went back on what they were saying because they were going to lose all their staff, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. If we stand up enough, we can stop this in every possible way. It's just about whether you have the courage enough to stand up for what you believe in. Now, New York Times is finding experts. I love how they frame that, right? Of course, they're going to go out and find whoever they can that will say this, who say that mask wearing should never end. Exactly. Now I'm going to do another focus on masks coming up here in the near future. I've got a bunch set off to the side, but you can see, guys, this is never going away. We told you that in the beginning. And as I said then, if you knew this was never going to go away, would you still be complying? I said that after weeks. I said it after months. I said it after 6 months. I said it after the year. Now I'm saying it after almost 2 years. Would you still comply today if you knew this was going to last 3 years, 4 years, the rest of your life? I argue you wouldn't. So why are you complying now? On top of that, a really upsetting part of this is the soldiers, you know, the heroes that are being told they're the heroes and, you know, how dare you, are you supporting our troops? And, you know, thank you for your courage and your freedom, and all the, you know, all the BS, not that it's BS to respect people that they are doing things they believe are the right thing. Because I argue again that they're not doing the right thing. They believe they are because they're also manipulated like every other person by their government. But the BS being, this is what people are framing it as and can shoving it. You're not allowed to speak negatively about this or that. Okay, so just like the nurses who were all heroes right up until they did what they wanted, soldiers who refuse vaccination, who are over there putting their lives on the line for things that are disgusting and horrible for the interest of technocrats and oligarchs, well, they can still do those things. They can still put their lives on the risk, lives on the line, but their careers are over now. Right, so they put their entire life into this, want to have some long-term career, even though hopefully this is a blessing in disguise, and they realize that they got lucky by getting pushed out. But they're saying, yeah, if you don't get this injection, we'll still let you risk your life, but we won't let you have a career. We're going to remove you from having any kind of longevity here. So are they no longer heroes because they don't want the shot that you're forcing on them? I mean, there's another angle to this too that, I mean, I don't necessarily agree that I think this is the objective, but just consider the fact that what you're doing is removing all the people from the military who have courage, people who are willing to stand up for what they believe in, even if they're wrong, mind you. You're removing all the people that have the things that, you know, used to represent what we believe we are in this country. And then you're giving the injections to all the people that are left, which is going to weaken their immune system, give them cancer, make them sick, make them have heart attacks, make them have myocarditis, make them have Bell's palsy, make them just generally feeble and weak. Yeah, that sounds a great thing to do. Maybe that's the point. Engineered fall of the West, as Corbett would call it. Now, going to the collapsing athletes to finish us off today, National Angela shared this out in a good way, saying that, did this really happen? I wasn't there, so I don't truly know. If so, it's pretty insane. I followed up by saying, based on what I've seen, it's not hard to believe, but I'll look into it. And I did today. Now, I won't play the clip. Basically, the clip says, this is wrong. 3 heart attacks in 1 game is not actually what happened. Or so that the story goes. For it's always possible that we're being manipulated and lied to. But what the person's recording on a TikTok, the TV, which is saying that there's people being carted out, there was 3 of them, and so on. What it turns out is 2 of them in the stands were actually weird cardiac-style related issues. But there was also an injury during the game where a third person had to be wheeled out. So you can see how these things get misrepresented. Should this person have done their due diligence before they wrote this out and said, well, 2 heart attacks? Even then, I wouldn't argue heart attacks because I haven't been able to prove they were heart attacks, right? Just, we got to be better than this, guys. So I thank you, Angela, for putting this out there so we could research it. Angela's been doing some great work, just continually pumping this stuff out. But here is what I found as we get into the discussion of this. Okay, so this is on October 23rd. This is the discussion that they were having there. So it's not necessarily a new story, right? Again, that kind of seems to happen, doesn't it? We get these weird kind of old things reframed. But regardless, it's 2021, October, and it's very relevant. West Brom confirmed both fans are conscious in hospital after double medical emergency. Now, this, remember that show I did way back in the beginning of all this where it got censored and I lost the clip? But there was a clip of at a concert where 3 different kids collapsed during the concert, and the concert had to stop, and they had to carry him out, and that was just normal. It's not normal. That's crazy. That's what we're continuing to show you with discussions of the collapsing athlete conversation, children and adults alike. But what's crazy is that happened. It got quickly removed from the internet, and I wasn't able to find it. But since then, how clear has this become? And that's why we see them in the audience happening as well. There's no way to misunderstand this, guys. Completely, the most athletically fit people on the planet, Olympians, athletes, dropping in the middle of games with heart attacks. Way above the normal rate, as I already proved to you in this show. Watch it for yourself. But then also in the stands at the same game, at the same situations. I mean, come on, guys. Delayed twice due to two medical emergencies involving fans. But it says, so at kickoff, the Hawthorns went ahead at 3:15 p.m. with medical teams were needed to assist a stricken supporter in the home end who was carried away on a stretcher. The promotion Chasing Baggies tweeted, owing to a medical emergency involving a fan inside the stadium, kickoff has been delayed, which is this tweet right here. Owing to the medical emergency involving the fan. Okay, so it's just a random thing. Then it says the promotion right down here. And then, in a somber twist, the second half was also pushed back because of a traveling Robin supporter who also needed tending to. This is obvious. Once the championship clash did get underway, there was another lengthy stoppage as Nathan Baker went down, injured though, and needed to be carried off on a stretcher while receiving oxygen. Now, I haven't seen the game. It's certainly possible that it was just framed as an injury and it was something else. But at the very least, those other two, I haven't been able to prove they were heart attacks. But it says, the worrying incidents came less than a week after a Newcastle fan suffered a cardiac arrest in the stands. So in another game, a different game, we had a guy suffer a heart attack in the stands. When's the last time you heard that? I'm sure it's not, it's probably much more common than people in the sports arenas. But guess what I just saw come out the other day? Heart attacks during the Super Bowl. Weird how common it is. Good God. They are doing the most shameless cover-up to this in their effort to make other things seem normal, even though there's no data to back up their argument. They go, well, it happens, so just remember that next time you hear one of these other conspiracy theorists. But going to the next article, it talks about a different discussion. John Fleck, Sheffield United midfielder, taken to the hospital after urgent medical care during the game. Not the same discussion. This is a different game. This is one day ago. Sheffield United midfielder John Fleck was taken off on a stretcher after a serious-looking incident in the second half of the championship game at Reading. Now, when I first read that, I was thinking, oh, that must be an injury too. Probably why they framed it that way. But it wasn't a serious-looking incident. He just fell over. So why would you frame somebody just falling over by themselves as a serious-looking incident? Like, maybe that's just an honest discussion of how they, you know, I don't know. It just seems like maybe I'm overthinking it. Certainly possible. But a lot of this stuff is trying to make it sound like it's not what you would think it was. Fleck went down apparently unchallenged, it says. The club confirmed after a final whistle that Fleck was conscious when he left the stadium. Now, here is another article. Another different former pro is calling for an investigation after that person collapsed. This is on November 24th. It was today. Sheffield United midfielder John Fleck fell to the ground during his team's game at Reading and had to be taken off on a stretcher after receiving a lengthy treatment and giving oxygen. Now, this professional is coming out and saying, we need to investigate this. Why? Because it's damn obvious. And everybody's ignoring it in the mainstream. Here's somebody point. This just shows you guys that even the average people out there have no idea that myocarditis is real and obvious. And these don't even have to be myocarditis. They could be that. It could be strokes, it could be heart attacks, they could be thrombosis. Any number of things could lead to these situations. But, interestingly enough, this one here, it's this person puts out just information on the down low because they won't make a public announcement. But see, this is the frustrating part. They have, though. The CDC has publicly said this. The corporate media has publicly said this. But what's crazy to me is that the average people still don't get that. You know why? Because they make an effort to not let this trickle down. So here this guy is stumbling on the CDC website, which we've shown you a million times. I'm not talking down to this guy. Good for him for putting it out there. My point is that the average level here, people are not seeing things that are blatantly there. This went from not happening censored to rare censored to, yeah, it's a risk, still being censored, to now, yes, we admit that it's an increased risk, but still being censored. We've been telling you that from the beginning because of the data that they've been hiding from you. It's just quietly admits that it's not, though. That's what's crazy, guys. This is out there. Here's somebody posting one of the studies, myocarditis, way back when. We already showed you that exact study. I believe that's the one that's been retracted as well. But regardless, there's a million of them out there showing you this obvious data. why is it that this is out there, but yet they're not seeing it? It's because of the controlled flow of information. That's what's happening. Please take time to read and listen to the discussions of how serious this is, how real this is. This was on November 8th. Children and athletes collapsing and dying from sudden cardiac arrest at unprecedented levels. And then a follow-up to your request showing you the actual prevalence of it in society and why it's dramatically higher than that on November 11th. The ongoing cover-up of collapsing athlete myocarditis, sudden cardiac arrest. It's all there. It's always all been there. Help me get this in front of people. Thank you for tuning in today, guys. I appreciate your effort to continue pushing back, continue waking people up. I couldn't do this without you. As I've said many times in the past, you are the last American vagabond. We need to keep fighting because it's changing every single day. Every moment we push this stuff out, we change somebody else's mind because it's just that obvious. So keep fighting. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.